Yes. So our New Testament lesson this morning is from 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8 and 16 through 18. It's on page 968. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you open our minds and our hearts and our ears, that we might hear your message this day, that you might plant it deeply in our hearts and cause it to multiply. You are a great and a mighty God, and we are eternally blessed. We say all this in Christ's name. Amen. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord, is it not? Great. Let me get myself situated here just a second. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, as a drink offering, poured out. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I want us to think about that for a moment. The imagery that he decided to use. I am already poured out as a libation, meaning that he poured his, rather than keeping it for himself, he poured his life out so that it could be used by others. Timothy, Paul is, in this scripture, Paul is writing to Timothy. And a little context. Timothy was a believer when Paul first encountered him in Lystra. Paul's mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois were both believers. Paul asked Timothy to accompany him on his second missionary journey. We learned that in Acts 16, 1 through 3. Elsewhere, Paul refers to Timothy as my beloved and faithful child in the Lord and my true child in faith. Timothy became Paul's most faithful associate. In chapter 1, Paul encouraged Timothy to stir up the gift of God which is in you, and not to be ashamed of the gospel or of Paul, who was imprisoned at that time. He called Timothy to hold the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. He mentioned two men who had turned away from him and one who had served Paul well in prison. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, Paul encouraged Timothy to teach others what he had learned from Paul. He warned Timothy that he must be prepared. Is there something? That he must be prepared to endure hardship for Christ, even as a soldier endures hardship, and to compete by the rules, even as an athlete does to win the crown. He says the farmers who labor must be first to get a share of the crops, implying that Timothy has a right to expect financial support from those he serves. He tells Timothy to reflect on these things, and he prays that the Lord will give Timothy understanding. In chapters 3 through chapter 4, Paul, the mentor and spiritual father of Timothy, urges Timothy to remain in the things which you have learned from the scriptures, and assured him that the scriptures were able to make Timothy wise for salvation. He went on to assure Timothy that all scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, and is thus profitable for teaching, for reproof, for connection, and for instruction in righteousness. He called Timothy to preach the word and to be urgent in season and out of season, whether convenient or not, whether popular or not. Something for us to remember. Preach the word and be urgent in season and out of season, whether convenient or not, or popular or not. He also warned Timothy that the time would come when people would not listen to sound doctrine, but instead would listen to false teachers who would tell them what they wanted to hear. He called Timothy to be sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Now he says he has done what he is calling Timothy to do. He has fought the good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith. These scriptures from Paul resonate with me deeply today. You see, on April 7th of this year, Anthony Spear of World Vision came to my church. Anthony Spear had been a pastor at Willow Creek Church. He had been encouraged to run by a friend, and then he felt that God spoke to him. And so he took on this challenge. He felt God was speaking to him, so he quit his position at Willow Creek as one of the pastors, and he ran from Los Angeles to New York to raise money, and he raised $500,000 for clean water for children in Africa. So he came to our church, and he told us this story, and we were inspired by his challenge, and then he challenged us. He issued a challenge for us to run the Chicago Marathon to raise money for clean water for children in Africa. He promised that if we took on the challenge, he would take us from couch potato to marathoner. And so he said, all of those of you who are considering this challenge, come and sit in these chairs over here. So Jewel got up and walked over there. And then he said, who's going to take on this challenge? And I raised my hand, yes. Now, you all should know, I am not a runner. I still tell people today it was the Holy Spirit that raised my hand. Because if I had thought about it, I would have just given a donation. But even so, a group of us, it started out to be 50 of us, a group of us trained for 6 months. And indeed, he took us from couch potato to marathoner. So on October 13th, just 2 short weeks ago, me and 28 other parishioners from our church ran the Chicago Marathon. We all started and we all finished. And you should know, it took me 8 hours, 14 minutes, and 55 seconds. And I say that to you, and why this scripture resonates with me, not to give myself a pat on the back, but you should know, this was grueling. And it was a tough race. And so when he says, I have finished the race, it brought to mind all of those things that you go through, all of the, I don't know, has anyone here ever been a runner or is a runner? It is very much mental, You know what I'm saying? You think it's physical, but it's not only physical, it's also mental. All of these things come up. And so, so we finished the marathon, and our church raised over $133,000, which will provide clean water for over 2,600 children. And we ran as a World Vision team. So I am saying to you this morning, whatever your number of years, on the day you were born, God laid out a purpose for you, a race for you to run. And there is something about running a race that brings up images of effort and perseverance and stamina. Why do the hard journeys matter? They shape us into strong, mature, resourceful human beings. We all know that this is the case with the physical world. Without exercise, discipline, physical effort, we easily become lazy and less efficient, prey to disease and deterioration. The biblical writer certainly understood this approach to life. Excuse me. Again and again, they appeal for the strenuous life. They call to the life of effort and endeavor, endure hardness, run the race, accept discipline. Paul, writing to his adopted son Timothy, certainly mixes the metaphors. He talks about the suffering of the good soldier, the disciplines of the Olympic Games, and then the hard labor of the farmer. But the thrust is clear. The real life is the strenuous life, the life of effort and endeavor. And I just want to, just in case, I want to just put a pin right in here, because I'm not really talking this morning about physical things. So I'm not trying to encourage anyone here to run the marathon or a 5K or a 10K. Paul is not talking about, and the biblical writers are not talking about, physical and intellectual. He speaks of the growth and development of the inner world, the world of spirit and character. What if inner peace, self-esteem, strength of spirit, authentic enjoyment of life come not as a result of a quick read from Amazon or a weekend retreat or a bottle of pills? What if the spiritual growth and maturity that brings real peace and satisfaction in life come only as a result of the endeavor over years, every bit as strenuous and as demanding as intellectual or athletic accomplishment? Because this is what the biblical metaphors are all about: not military service, not Olympic Games, not even the struggle to survive. The apostle talks about being strong in the grace of Christ, about accepting the suffering of a good soldier of Christ. He is talking about a life bent on the growth of a spirit and character like that of Jesus of Nazareth. So what does it take to achieve a truly healthy and accomplished spirit like this? What does it take to establish and sustain a strenuous and stretching life amid the siren calls to softness in the contemporary world? It takes two things, really. It takes a clear sense of destination beyond ourselves, and it takes disciplines appropriate to that destination. God is inviting you to run for something. This is about running the race God has marked out for all of us. And I just want to take a moment, because what I know is that God has placed in each of our hearts a desire, a purpose, a way that we can be for Him. And as I said, that doesn't mean running a marathon or a 5K or a 10K necessarily to raise money, although that might be it. It might mean that your work is caring for a loved one or caring for others. Or maybe, who in here works with Kids Club? Anybody here work with Kids Club? or maybe I see people seem shy about outing themselves, but really, it's that work. It's that nagging thought that Christ has put within us. Maybe it's to volunteer somewhere. Maybe it's just to go and console a neighbor in a time of need. But God has placed within each of us a purpose for our lives. And so each of us, what Paul is saying to each of us is fight the good fight. Run your race. Do what God has challenged you to do. And I want you to know this race is not done until we breathe our last breath. As long as we're here, Christ has something for us to do. And you might say, well, Pastor Jewel, it's great that you're telling me I should run this race, but what does it take for me to run this race? So first of all, you need a crowd and a cloud. There is an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. It is important that when we run our race, that we do it in community, that we have support. Many of us like to be lone rangers, but if we really want to go far, if we really want to do that which God has placed in our hearts to do, we need community. And community may be the community here of Hickory Hills Presbyterian Church. It may be one other person. But one of the things that made it possible for us to run the marathon was we were a group. We had a group run every Saturday morning. We had emails. We were a group going together to accomplish something. And you can believe me that if I had to do that by myself, I'd be here telling you about a thought I had versus something that got accomplished. Find those who share your goal and your mission and go together. We need each other, and we can't do this if we are not centered in Christ. Secondly, you need to shed hindrances. What stands in the way of you running your race? That thing that God has planted within you to do? What is it that you say is the reason you can't do it? Those are the hindrances we need to shed. When I said yes to running the marathon, there were many hindrances. I was not a runner. I won't tell you all my complete age, but I am over 60. So just that, the months of training, starting small and then building up, made the difference. What do you need to let go of? What kind of training might you need? Third, you need to fix your eyes. Where are you going? We need to keep our eyes trained on the goal that we're seeking to accomplish. Our goal doesn't have to be huge or overwhelming. It needs to be what Christ is speaking to our hearts. Keep your eyes fixed there. Fourth, you need to find joy. Finding joy in whatever you're doing. Many of you are already out there running on purpose. And sometimes journeys get long and tiring. But we need to find joy. So as I was training for the marathon and running the marathon itself, joy was in taking another step. Joy was in a cool drink of water. Joy was in having people right there with me. What joy can you find in the race that you're running? And then finally, you can't lose heart. We must keep our eyes trained on Christ. We must always keep the faith. We must persevere. So again, I want to just say to you again, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what you might be thinking at this moment, God has a race for you to run. And this morning, I am imploring you. I am begging you. Listen to that voice of God that is speaking to you over and over and over again. And then take that first step. So as Paul was able to say, the question is now ours to answer. As for me, and this is for you, have I been poured out as a libation? Have I fought the good fight? Am I finishing the race? Have I kept the faith? Amen.